We've heard some songs of different faiths today, and you heard songs about our faith, about a Christ who comes like light in the darkness. And we start this new year, this Advent time, by the reading of Luke, which I've invited you to read the first two chapters as we prepare during this Advent time. I'm reading in the first chapter of Luke. I'm going to start at verse 26 and go through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by these words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, a child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to me. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. A friend reminded me of a story that circulated when I was in seminary 20 years ago. It was when we were about to receive calls to churches. And when you received a call to a church, you were examined on the floor of presbytery for ministry. Now, you remember that a presbytery is a group of Presbyterian churches, elders and ministers who meet. There was one presbytery in North Carolina where a lot of our candidates went, that there was this notorious elder who asked every candidate on the floor of presbytery, "Do you believe in the virgin birth?" And through the years, the seminary got reports that students would trip over the answers in their theological eagerness trying to explain it all. The theological faculty began to advise the students, if you believe in the virgin birth, say yes and sit down. Don't try to explain it. Say yes and sit down. That's a pretty good way to receive this story. For we have to suspend with Mary our rational, intellectual, biological thoughts and just say yes. Now, we Protestants deal with Mary in a variety of ways. Some of us use the virgin birth as a test question of right faith, like the man in North Carolina did. Some of us use it as an opportunity to explain it could or it couldn't happen and talk about the possibilities. More of us really don't know what to do with Mary, so we're kind of glad that she's only in the lectionary once in 3 years, and we pull her out at a Christmas pageant, and that seems about enough. We're kind of confused by the Catholics' understanding as Mary as the Queen of Heaven and their devotion to her and the Immaculate Conception. Or we can't understand why Orthodox Christians venerate Mary and use her as an intercessor to talk to Christ. A story is told about a great Protestant theologian who dies and goes to heaven, and he gets to meet Jesus. And Jesus says, "You've met my father already. This is my mother, Mary." See, when we don't know her well, when we kind of are glad we don't have to talk about her too much, we miss power in the story. The point is not Mary's virginity, but that God chooses her. It is about God's power and God's promise to use this ordinary, young, untrained, unqualified woman to be the bearer of good news in the world. It isn't the how of what happened here. It's that God broke in the midst of creation into an ordinary woman in an ordinary world, and the world has never been the same again. Karl Barth said the point of the story is not conception, but creation. Martin Luther, the founder of the Reformed faith, there are three miracles in the nativity of Christ. God became human, a virgin conceived, and Mary believed. And in Luther's mind, the last was the most important. Can you imagine what it is like to have an encounter with an angel? This angel Gabriel brings the news of two impending births. Zechariah, who we talked about last week, hears that he and Elizabeth are going to have a child. It's unexpected, but not undesirable. I mean, they had lived a righteous and good life and had always prayed for a child. And when Gabriel tells Mary that she is going to have a child, the news is both unexpected and undesirable, because no pious young woman would want to learn that she was pregnant outside of marriage, because in that day, at the very worst, it could lead to a stoning. At maybe the more moderate, she would be shunned by her family and her community. And yet this is the way God chose. She wasn't old enough to be wise. Her family was not prominent. She was not said to be particularly pious or faithful. That wasn't why she was picked. But the angel said to Mary in verse 28, "Greetings, favored one, God is with you." And the Greek "favored one" means grace is with you. God's love, God's grace is with you. You're not favored because of something you are, but because God chose you. Mary is an ordinary person, but she's extraordinary because of God's love. Eugene Peterson, in his translation, pens the verse this way. "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you." Now, Mary has an angel speaking to her, and the text tells us she was perplexed and she pondered what sort of message this would be. I don't know, perplexed and pondering seem a lot too calm for me. An angel has just come into her space and called her by name. Peterson catches a little bit of the anxiety in his translation. She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what sort of greeting this is like. She then hears that she's going to bear a son, a savior, and his name will be Jesus. Do you remember last week when Zechariah got news that he and Elizabeth would have a baby? His answer to that was, "How can this be so? I'm old and my wife is old too." His answer was one of doubt, or maybe just of a lack of imagination. Mary's response that she's going to be a baby, going to have a baby, and the baby will be the Savior was, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" It's more of a statement of astonishment than a question. It's not disbelief as much as, "This is out of my experience. I have never seen anything like this. I can't understand how it's going to happen." It's a question in the midst of faith. Mary hears, probably not for the first time, that Elizabeth is going to have a child. And then the angel says to her, "Nothing is impossible for God." The story is really about what God is going to do, and that God is still doing things in our lives. Mary's response to all of this is, "Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." Her response is, I don't understand. It is not, I don't understand. I'm not sure. I'm frightened beyond belief. It's more of, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to live in the mystery. She doesn't have to understand it. She doesn't have to know where it's going to go. She simply says, let it be as you say. Let me be a servant. Peterson says it this way. Yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me as you say. Some would say that is the very first prayer in Luke. It's the very first prayer of a Christian. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Use me. Let it be according to your word. See, Mary somehow can just live in the mystery. I wonder what it would be like if we too were willing to live in the midst of mystery. If we could be people of faith and know that we don't have to know all the answers. We don't have to have all the plans made out. I think that's one of the reasons people are drawn to Mary. If God could use her, maybe God can use us. Maybe we can ask questions and still live in faith. Seek to be a servant, even if we don't know where we're going or we don't like it very much. Could it be that God still makes interruptions or announcements in our lives? Maybe we have to be able to believe or hope that God can still use us. Might we be able to say, here I am, let it be according to your will? What would it be like if we really did that? If we said boldly, here I am, or we said kind of timidly, okay, God, you can use me, but if you've got other plans, it would be fine. The Christian word for that is going when you don't know where you're going and following when you're not in control. It's called obedience, of following the ways, the calls, the nudges of God, even when we're unsure, unclear, hesitant, or wishing God had sent us a letter first to approve of such plans. Following when we are unsure in ourselves, but willing to trust in God. That's obedience. I may want to know where the path is, but I'm willing to believe that at least I know in this path God will interrupt us. And that's what happened to Mary. She really was interrupted by this angel. I mean, she had planned a life. She was going to marry Joseph. She had known of this since she was a young woman. He would be her husband. He would be the father of her children. And then this angel came and interrupted everything. But somehow she was able to embrace this interruption of being of God. One pastor said, I've often wondered what it would be like if I was in Mary's shoes. Would I have said, use me, let it be according to your word? I doubt it. I think I probably would have said, excuse me, thank you, but I'd rather not. The fact is, I'm not especially open to be interrupted by God. I like my plans worked out carefully, thank you. But here's what we know about life. It's full of interruptions. So can we not have some courage to see if some of those interruptions may be of God? They could be a random word, something unexpected, a phone call, a doorbell, something we overhear on the street or in the service or read in a book. Maybe that's when God may be speaking to us, to interrupt us, to give us hope, maybe to direct us. It even happens to the pastor occasionally. I was leaving work here about 7 o'clock at night. I was ready to go home. I had plans. And there are about 4 people in front of me to get their cars from the garage. And they're all the guys who work at Swan Seafood Market. Do you know it down there? It's wonderful. And they're in a great mood. They are making small talk. They're asking me lots of things like, which car do I want in the lot? And yeah, anything but mine, I say. And then one man, he's probably about 55, says, are you ready to have your weekend now? And I said, well, you know, I'm the pastor of the church. They kind of expect me there on Sunday. They're like that. And he looks at me and he says, "But do you love what you do?" And I said, "Yes." And that was the end of the conversation. See, I think it was God interrupting me and reminding me what a privilege it is to serve you, to be a child. May we this Advent season find ourselves willing to listen to and follow the ways of Mary, a believing and trusting that God can use ordinary people like us for God's work, to live out Christ's ways here and now. Not perfect people, not qualified people, not overly holy people, us. Could we believe that we are the ones who are beautiful inside and out because God is with us? May we be willing to be interrupted by God, to live in mystery, to live in love. Amen.